Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network, talking about the Upham Woods Outdoor Learning Center. Now, it's located near Wisconsin Dells. It's been educating adults and children for 80 years or maybe even over 80 years. And we'll talk with the center's director about the environmental education experiences that are available for listeners. Justin Hoffman is with us. He is the director of Upham Woods, and he is also an associate professor at the University of Wisconsin Division of Extension. So great to have Justin with us today, and I hope you'll join in as we talk about Upham Woods. Did you visit the Upham Woods Center maybe as a child? Maybe you're sending your kids there now. What's your experience been like there? What would you like to know about the research that's being done there? Love to have you part of the conversation. You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can shoot us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Justin, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, thanks a lot, Larry. This is really exciting. I listen to your show all the time, and it's quite an honor to be on air with you.
Well, it's great to have you with us today to talk about Upham Woods. I said it's located near the Wisconsin Dells, and I've been there many times, but maybe for those who aren't familiar, where is it located?
Yeah, we are in the very edge of Juneau County, actually. And more or less, the property of Upham Woods is right at the corner of Juneau, Adams, Sauk, and Columbia County. Those four counties come together in the middle of the Wisconsin River. But just off of our shoreline. But if that gives you some geographic reference, we're also right just off the interstate and just a little upstream from the Dells themselves. So,
and really,
pretty,
and really close to, or pretty close at least to Aldo Leopold Shack.
Yeah, that's right. We're, I don't know, like 7.5 miles upstream by the way a fish might have gone. It's about a 15-minute drive maybe by taking the county road off of A. But yeah, we're just in the neighborhood there. And in fact, in my research for doing the history of Upham Woods, and I'm working on a book about that, it wouldn't surprise you to know that Aldo Leopold, was up at Upham Woods right around the time it was given to the university. He came up and talked to the superintendent and took some photographs, which are in the Leopold archive of Upham Woods, which is pretty, pretty cool. And what you'd expect for a neighbor that's interested in conservation. You know, he's poking around, I'm sure, and like, hey, what else is going on around here in my neck of the woods? So it's a cool touch point.
Yeah, and the history of the place, I think, is really interesting. There's kind of some sad history going way back with the Native Americans in the area, but maybe talk about the history.
Yeah, no problem. So we have our 80th anniversary this year in September. So for almost 80 years, we've been a part of the University of Wisconsin. And originally, the Upham family, they made the gift of the land to the university. And for the first 25 years or so, we were in CALS, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. And then an extension when it was a separate administrative home. And now, back at Madison and the Division of Extension. And so that's the kind of recent history. But going back in time, reversing out from 1941 backwards, the property from I think 1906 to 1941 belonged to the Upham family. And that's an important, you know, a prominent Milwaukee family at the time. And they had been in the state predating statehood. So a long time that family's been in the state. And they, I mentioned that date, 1906, it's right before the Kilbourne Dam went in. And that Kilbourne Dam went in, I think it was completed in 1909. And that dam is in the Dells. And at the time, the Dells were called Kilbourne City. And that dam now, and anyone probably that's alive listening to your radio show today, knows that that amount of water that's above the dam is what folks are on tour boats seeing the Dells and the sites of the rocks and going up to the different gulches and attractions that have been on postcards for 100 years. So the Upham family, you know, bought the property just right at the edge of that time frame. And then when they kind of were moving on in their generations, they thought about giving their land to worthy causes. And so they actually had two big parcels of land, and one parcel went to the Board of Regents at the University of Wisconsin, and the other part went to Easter Seals in the camp that's more or less across the river from us, and up on the hill. It's called Camp Wabik, and that's a respite camp. And so believe it or not, in 1940s, they gave two camps to the benefit of the youth of Wisconsin, and ours is one of them.
It's amazing. And Freddie, if you think back, the Upham Woods area, it's an island, but it wasn't always even an island, was it? Didn't the water, I'm trying to remember my history on this, but it seems to me that there was a change in the river, or the river split or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And that 1909 is when what's called Black Hawk Island now became an island. And in the old surveys from the 1860s and the 1890s, some maps that I've found in my research, they have the cartography of that area shows that, as you would expect, you know, that land was continuous and not an island at all. In the colonial settler time, and some of those maps are pretty neat. They go back to the railroad survey or the river survey, back to Charles Lapham, who is Increase Lapham's son, a very famous surveyor and naturalist of Wisconsin. So that area has been well known for quite some time, and of course is ancestral Ho-Chunk land. But to your question about the island, it is an island because of the dam right now. And it's called the Kilbourne Flowage now because it's a dam controlled waterway. And, it's named that because of the name of the dam. But that channel that makes it an island on the shallow side, we'll say, was a historic water course, going back 9,000 years ago. And even before that, 30,000 years ago, there's yet another river course that went, over into Rocky Arbor State Park and down into the Dells by the Dunkin' Donuts, which is quite the geological reference point. But the river shifted in that spot many times, and because of glaciation and succession and recession of glaciers, and most recently the impoundment of water on the dam.
Well, the Upham Woods, we always called it Upham Woods Camp. Thinking back to my early days, but it's got a connection even with Wisconsin Public Radio. Ranger Mack was somebody who was involved there, and of course, Ranger Mack did some great programs for us.
Yeah. In an interesting way, Larry, he kind of is a predecessor of you and a predecessor of me. he worked on public radio doing a doing some shows to talk to people of Wisconsin about the outdoors. And he also was the first superintendent of Upham Woods. So in a certain way, I guess that's how you and I are related. But anyhow, he won a Peabody Award for his broadcast work. And he had a famous show called A Field with Ranger Mac in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah, it's some great history, and we're going to bring you up to the present coming up here with our guest, Justin Hoffman, as we talk with him. He's director of the Upham Woods Outdoor Learning Center now. We used to call it, I always called it Upham Woods Camp, but there's lots of new things going on there, and I want to hear from you as well. I hope you'll join in. The number is 800-642-1234. We'll take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, talking about the Upham Woods Outdoor Learning Center with its director, Justin Hoffman. Great to have him with us today, and certainly I'm glad to have you listening in. What would you like to know about visiting the center? Have you volunteered there? Have you participated in programs there? Join in. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234, or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Well, Justin, let's talk about the sort of the overall kind of mission now of this just absolutely beautiful place with a great facility. What's your mission?
That's a great question. And a lot of partners that I've met with just in the last couple of weeks, I start out with that question right off the bat. And I think it's an important one to go back to. The simplest version of our mission, I take that back to the gift of the land to the university. And I'll read it off here. Though I certainly can recite it from memory too. It says, "These lands are to be used as an outdoor laboratory and camp for youth, such as 4-H clubs and other people cooperating with the University of Wisconsin in the advancement of conservation, of agriculture, and of rural culture." And, there's a lot of other kind of things you could say that we've done over the last 80 years, but I'd say they're all derivative of those core points. We work really hard with a lot of different groups in the university and out in the counties with 4-H, and in those three topic areas, conservation, and folks looking to strengthen agriculture, and then rural culture.
Yeah, and here you've got this beautiful property. You've got surrounded by water.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect time. I mean, you can talk about water. You can talk about conservation.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of ways that you can bring in other kinds of, science bits into it, can't you?
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, that's exactly right. Conservation itself is a science, in my opinion, the science of conservation. Yeah. Of course, it could be seen as a belief system as well. But the science of conservation, goes to look at water quality and soil erosion and invasive plants. And those are all sciences. And in the way I see them, we have researchers at the university that connect to those ideas. And then at times we can connect them to the work we do at the camp and to the students that are on the site. Those three things, conservation, water, and science, education, STEM, are really the things we want to emphasize and hope that anybody that comes there to Upham, we hope they have a positive connection to those three ideas before they leave.
Let's take a call. Joan in McNaughton, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. This is bringing back a lot of memories for me, because in the early 50s, I would go each spring when Wakeland McNeil or Ranger Mac was there, and help with the cleaning up of the camp for the summer season. And it just is bringing back lots of memories. I did a couple of tours on Blackhawk Island for different groups, and he had a name for me, and that name was Pipsissewa. And I don't know what it means. I think it's an Indian name for hepaticas, but I'm not sure. But I'm, wow. I'm thanking you for all the memories.
Oh, Joan, thanks so much.
Yeah, Joan. Oh my gosh, it's not every day. It's very seldom I meet somebody. Thanks for your story. And it's very seldom I meet somebody that met and knew Ranger Mac. What was he like? What do you remember about him?
Oh, he was a great person. I had a field with Ranger Mac in school also, but this was through 4-H that I ended up going every spring. And he just had a wealth of information and was so personable. I really enjoyed any time that I spent with him.
Oh, that's great.
That's great. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join in too, 800-642, excuse me, 1234, email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Well, let's talk some more about this, the center's link with 4-H. That's how I first got involved in it. But talk about that link.
Yeah, you bet. 4-H is... 4-H and positive youth development are kind of the part of extension that works with young people, with kids. And, you know, at different times in our history with the university, then, you know, there's all kinds of different types of ways that kids came to Upham Woods through 4-H. The most classic way, and the way most listeners probably remember coming, is through their summer camp program with their county, and they may come from Rock County or Racine or Oconto even, or La Crosse, and come down for 3, 4, or 5 days in the summer. And but there's also a lot of other 4-H folks that would come by throughout different eras and programs. But we had wildlife education programs, we've had arts camps. And actually, the arts camps are were the single biggest program that comes to Upham Woods still. You know, the hundreds of kids throughout the year are connected to the arts in some way. And that's a really exciting connection. Also through leadership programs through the year, as it may be kind of a retreat for some of the older kids for different leadership roles they have in their own county. And then... hopefully some of those kids are leaders at camp when they come back in the summer. So the connection's pretty wide-ranging. And, you know, sometimes county educators or 4-H folks just are there to meet because of the central location that it is in the Dells, too. So a lot of different ways. Yeah.
Yeah, and that central location, I imagine you draw – folks from a fairly broad range of areas, right?
Yeah. Most commonly, you know, we have folks coming within a two-hour radius. So folks from Stevens Point, Beloit, Janesville, Rock County, or La Crosse, Milwaukee, Waukesha, of course, Dane County, and all the places in between that radius. And then we had some outliers too, you know, like just a couple weeks ago, we had a school came up from Indiana. They drove all the way across Chicago to get to us, and had a really exceptional experience too. And, you know, it's unlike anything they would find where they're from in Indiana. And the group that's furthest that's come since I've been there is from Omaha, Nebraska. And they They drove out and had a week with us in our science laboratory kind of program, and they brought a bunch of teachers, and then they came back a second time and brought a bunch of kids. Yeah, so we don't see a lot of that, but it's out there. You know, people were on the radar for some of this science education. But when we're running a full year like we did in 2019, we saw 12,441 people on that year. So that's gives you a sense of how many people come through there. And we've seen over 700,000 people since we opened, which is also a pretty big number when you think about it. That's more people than have graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, for example. So that's a lot of folks.
That is indeed a lot of folks. And when they come, it's typically, if they're coming for a stay, is it a week of 3 days, or what's a typical?
Yeah, typically it's 3 days nowadays. You know, I think back, like when I might have been a kid, or maybe when you were a kid, people would come for a week. You know, they go to camp, you know, they'd go out there and make it home by Sunday, you know. And but the way that things go now, with so many other things on kids' plates, that, you know, and adults, it takes adults to make camp run too. Most people just can't take a whole week for the type of camp Upham is, and that's fine. That's just a shifting with the day and age. But yeah, 3 days, two nights is the most typical, and the most typical age is sixth graders or 12-year-olds is where we see the most interest.
Bob in Claybanks called in, couldn't hang on, but wondered if Upham Woods is open to the general public.
That's a very, very common question we get. And all of our programs are open. Well, I should say anyone from the public can reserve a space or book a group at Upham Woods. But in terms of just dropping in to our buildings or dropping into our property or programs, that's not how we've been set up. So in one sense, we're open to the public and serve a wide range, but you gotta book in advance. It might be the simplest way to say it.
How would you actually do that? What's the website? You actually have a nice website.
Yeah. Thanks, Larry. We have let me see what the most recent version of that web address is. I want to make sure I get that right for your listeners here, but, if you go to FYI, let's see here.
FYI dot extension, I think.
Yeah, FYI.extension.wisc.edu /Upham Woods was the didn't redirect.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure that's the. I've got that in my notes. That FYI.extension.wisc.edu/Upham Woods, and we'll have that up on our page, ideas at wpr.org/Larry. If you go to today's date, we'll have that posted as well if you want to get to it. Or if you just write Upham Woods in the search engine, it's probably going to come up.
That's what I do. We've had our domain change a couple times in the last few years, and I just have it, I just put in Upham Woods, and we're the only Upham Woods out there, so it comes up.
And there are some costs associated with it, I'm sure.
Yeah. The Upham Woods is the way it operates is on the user fees, I guess you'd say, for anybody coming there. And if you come like during our peak season, it's $25.50 per person per day, and that includes your cabin and all the programming that you would do, like canoeing or archery or your science education or hiking on the island. It's kind of I guess it'd be $1 an hour, more or less, if you want to remember it that way, which I think is not a bad deal. when you consider what we got. And there's a dormitory that has a little bit higher rate than that, but and then the food is on top of that rate. So so yeah, that's our rate. And you know, our hope is to make that as keep that those prices as low as we can to serve as many people as we possibly can. So we are always looking for grants or special programs that we can get to help underwrite that cost and keep it down for young people.
I'm wondering, I was thinking back, you mentioned you were talking about past years, and COVID of course comes up in a lot of our shows because a lot of organizations were strongly affected by COVID. How did COVID affect the center? I mean, you couldn't have people there, I wouldn't imagine. You couldn't have groups.
Yeah, that's right. We couldn't have kids overnight. And, you know, that's just tough. Some folks in the camp industry were able to make it work in different contexts around the state, around the country. But our context is, you know, real short visits, and really it's really hard to get there with figuring out a way to do it. So we didn't have overnight kids last summer or this summer. We hope to be back at that in the fall. But during COVID, we kept busy. We have a lot of state and federal and private grants for programs, and we translated those to be virtual programs like a lot of schools you know, might have had during COVID. We would be guest teachers in their classrooms, or we would go through our nature center with our turtle and or our birds, and try to, as much as we could, bring nature into the classroom that kids were having in their virtual school, which, you know, I have to point out is really ironic because that's what Ranger Mac did. He, in 1938, he was talking about a field with Ranger Mac, and he had the science corner, and he would talk about the, you know, the caterpillars and the oak leaves and the turkeys. And, you know, he was bringing nature-based education and science into the classrooms all over Wisconsin through the rural, you know, through the airwaves. And, you know, if you want to grant me some artistic liberty, you know, like a radio wave and a Wi-Fi wave are not all that different with it when it comes to just make, you know, trying to make the natural world come alive for folks at home. So that's what we were doing.
Well, Carrie emailed that she grew up in a suburb of Milwaukee, and her elementary school used to have a fourth grade trip to Upham Woods every year. They had to have fundraise to afford it, but it was an amazing experience. They learned so much about the environment, and the group activities were great in building strong bonds among the students. And it's one of her favorite childhood memories to this day. And she's 37 years old, and she hasn't forgotten it.
That's
probably something that you hear a bit about.
Oh yeah. Man, hardly a week goes by where I don't find some inspiration from a story just like that. And my staff does too. And, we don't take it for granted. You know, it's a long line of folks that have worked at Upham and have served people around Wisconsin and made a really positive impact in their memory about either being outside or just being with each other. You know, one of the old slogans at Upham Woods was for human companionship and fellowship with nature was the way they phrased it. And I think about that a lot, and I'm like, man, that's still what we do today. we want people to have positive connections to each other and to the land. And sounds like your listener had one or both of those.
And the you mentioned volunteers. I mean, is there room for volunteers? I suppose maybe not right at this moment, but
yeah, that's something we hope to grow. And one of the answers is we have them all along. We have to have one adult for every 10 kids that are there. Yeah, and typically that adult is a volunteer, and that's somebody's mom or dad that took off of work, or it's a community member from their school that's volunteering, or they're, part of a 4-H volunteer program. There's a lot of different ways, and then we've over time had volunteers at Uplandwoods too, for different programs we're doing with a bio blitz or working on our invasive species management or conservation programs. So a lot of folks that are volunteers that come to Upham come by way of the community they're already a part of, and that makes perfect sense. Some come, on a repeat basis.
Yeah, I'm sure there have been kids that have wound up in that program and loved it and maybe got involved at one time or another after they even aged out of the camping experiences. Yeah. I bet you got a few of those too.
Yeah, we do. And they as people move on, they bring that passion to the next group they work with or the next school or when their own kids are, becoming 4-H or scouts or their own school. They're like, hey, they're the mom or dad that's like, hey, we should go to Upham Woods with our group. And that we really are grateful for that. That's what it takes.
Well, if you think about it, you could have, great grandparents. I mean, the lineage there is just pretty long.
Yep. Yeah, you certainly could have. We get some people that will come back and they'll say, "Hey, I want to drive by with and show my mom," or and it's somebody that would be like much older, like, "Oh, my mom remembers this place and she wanted to show it to me," or we get all kinds of, or people that like, "Hey, I met my wife or met my future husband at camp. We want to come by and take a picture." And it's touched a lot of people's lives in surprising and predictable ways.
Well, I tell you what, it's been fun talking with you today, Justin, about the camp. I have so many fond memories of it myself, of the times that I spent there. You just never forget those times. And I appreciate the work that you do and all the other folks do there. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. And, we got our 80th anniversary party coming up on the September 11th. Everybody's welcome to it. We'll be posting that out on our website and hopefully have a great, great crew bringing old photos and things and old stories.
Justin Upham, our guest today, he is the director of the Upham Woods Outdoor Learning Center. Great to have him with us today. It was fun talking with him.